You're welcome.
All right, episode 2. Got my dad on the line. What's going on?
Just kicking back, getting ready to watch some wild card football.
Nice. New year, 2017. Pretty good sports year. Do you have a favorite sports moment? I know mine, in particular, was that great Yankees run. I'm sure you probably feel the same.
Yeah. Yankee run, certainly the comeback against Cleveland when it looked like things were pretty dire after the Girardi brain fart, in Cleveland in Game 2 when they blew the 5-run lead and ultimately lost in extra innings. But, team rallied around Joe and came back, won that series, and it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, we never expected that to happen. I mean, that's like the best thing when you see young talent, you know, go above their heads, so to speak. It's a good sign, great sign, I think, for the future. Aaron Boone, did you like the hire?
Did I like the hire? Look, when I think of Aaron Boone, I think of when I got launched out of my Barca Lounger in 2003.
Yeah,
when
I was there. I was there. Yeah. We were jumping up and hugging like a bunch of little girls. It was great.
I almost hurt myself, jumping out of that chair. But aside from that, not exactly, certainly not one of my top 20 favorite Yankees. Probably maybe not even in my top 30. Semi enjoyed him on the ESPN broadcast. I didn't think that he was particularly enlightening. I mean, I think I found out more about him after he was selected and reading up on, what a baseball savant he is and how much he loves the game, and he would manage in the TV booth, and, he's sort of like an A-Rod without the ego. Lives, eats, sleeps, breathes baseball. So, that's good. He's a little bit younger than Girardi. I don't know that he's hipper than Joe is.
Hipper?
Well, the bullshit excuse the Yankees gave for not renewing Joe's contract was that they needed a better communicator with the young players. Quite honestly, you need to be a good communicator, but you always did in whether you were a coach, whether you're a manager in business. Being a good communicator is key to being successful. And quite frankly, sometimes that communication is being tough with people to get your point across. And the truth might not come out for another 5 years, or maybe somebody writes a book, but I just think that there may have been some personality conflicts, and the team just said, we need to go in a different direction. Or, could be Cashman just having a big head and wanting to be, the main focus. I don't know. It was bizarre to me.
Yeah, well, what was very bizarre to me was, you knew who I wanted to be the manager, and you kind of laughed at me. I think everyone laughed at me when I mentioned it, and, you're crazy. I wanted A-Rod. And then it comes out after the fact that it sounded like Cashman wanted A-Rod. So, which is kind of funny, because didn't A-Rod try and sue the Yankees? I mean, weren't they on the outs? Like, it's just, I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I mean, I don't think he had any desire to manage the Yankees. Maybe not at this point in his life. And yeah, he did. I believe he tried to sue the Yankee team doctors, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, there was definitely a testy relationship. You know, the Yankees basically paid A-Rod not to play. And that was a, you know, it was pretty key, quite honestly, because it gave the kids a chance to play last year at the end of the year, and kind of set the table for 2017.
Absolutely. All right, well, it should be a fun year. I mean, I think they're obviously, with the addition of Stanton, I mean, I think they're good in the hitting department. Pitching, you know, they re-signed CC, they got Sonny Gray, they got Montgomery, you know, Tanaka, if he's healthy. Pineda, he went to Minnesota, I think, right?
Severino.
So, should be fun. But, you know, enough of 2017. Let's talk about the biggest story in 2018 that just broke the other day, which is our good friends, the New England Patriots, which, I don't know. You and I were talking about this yesterday, and I think we kind of disagreed on a few things. Or maybe we didn't. I don't know. Now it's coming out, Kraft saying Belichick will absolutely be back for 2018. But then, I don't know, did you see the article that came out last night from Gary Myers about Belichick pretty much being a favorite to go to the Giants? Did you see that?
No, I did not. You know, I've just basically heard the gist of the ESPN article. You know, all the euphoria that surrounded Jimmy Garoppolo being traded to the 49ers. You know, I guess, you know, Brady didn't want somebody that talented behind him. I guess the guy feels like he can play forever. He's already said he wants to play another 4 or 5 years, which would put him in his middle 40s, which, you know, look, to play at a high level at that age is pretty unusual. I mean, I can't think of anybody, with the exception of maybe like a George Blanda back in the early 70s, who played quarterback at an advanced age. But it's pretty wacky. This whole TB12, Alex Guerrero, the fact that you know, they've kind of set themselves up and tried to lure in the other players to kind of ignore what the team doctors and team trainers were espousing and just kind of follow their nutrition program and their regimen. And I don't know. You know, look, I'm a firm believer that one size doesn't fit all. And, you know, different people get in shape different ways. That's why there's a bajillion different diets out there. I think if you do things right, you know, you can get in good shape. And, you know, there were great athletes before TB12. I don't know if this guy thinks he's found the fountain of youth, but I guess we'll find out in years to come, right? Next couple of years.
Right. Yeah.
He's still performing at this high a level. Maybe there's something to it.
Yeah. I mean, the TB12, what is it? You eat vegetables, drink a lot of water, get a lot of sleep. You know, all I mean, you got to be incredibly disciplined to follow this method. And, you know, it's funny. I heard Francesa was on, you know, I was telling you he was on the Bill Simmons podcast. He told an incredible story that I guess Scott Paoli told him. Scott Paoli, I guess, worked for the Patriots years ago. It was March, and, you know, which is, you know, middle of the off season, and I guess he was driving by the Foxborough practice facility, and he sees a light on, and he's like, what the hell, like, who the hell's at the facility right now? And this is 9:30 on a Friday night, so he goes in the gym, and he thinks someone just left a light on. No, Tom Brady is in there, and he's just throwing balls into, like, some machine. 9:30 on a Friday night in March. And that tells you all you need to know about Tom Brady. This guy is maybe the hardest working athlete ever. And it's pretty incredible.
That's what you sell lunch at home.
Exactly. And kids, and I'm sure he has a beautiful house. And He can't even stand it. He can't stand it. He got benched his senior year at Michigan, and that he was drafted, 199th pick or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess scouts were saying he had the worst body of any quarterback they'd ever seen. You know, he's just like this tall, skinny, lanky kind of guy. And he took all that, and he's incredible. You know, we're Jets fans, and we should hate him, but I can't help but just respect the hell out of the guy.
I respect him. I don't like what I've heard the last couple of days in terms of, you know, him wanting to eliminate anyone who's remotely a threat to him.
Right, like he's like bigger. He's bigger than he's like above everyone else on the team. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's certainly all about him. I've even heard, you know, stories that he wants to be called sir. He's from the other players.
Right.
look, I don't know what to say. Is he great? He's never been the most mobile of quarterbacks. He's obviously been a great leader because, look, like we discussed yesterday, he's had a cast of, you know, basically some nomadic NFL players, guys who have been average football players at best in other places, and they get to New England and they just thrive. And the only common denominator is Brady. So he certainly raises up the level of all the players. You know, Deion Branch, right? Average receiver at best when he was elsewhere in the NFL. But in New England, all world.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, a lot of people will say that's because of Belichick, and you know, everyone wants to say is the success from Belichick? Is it from Brady? It's both of them. I mean, this isn't a one man show. It's both of them. It's a culture. It's sort of like the Spurs in the NBA. You know, is it Popovich? Was it Duncan, Ginobili, Parker? You know, it's just a culture. That's what it is. You got to implement a culture. You know, it's hard for the Jets to implement a culture when they're changing coaches and GMs every few years. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of have to be patient and just work hard. And it's
there's a couple of components, right? So the discipline, like you said, discipline, the culture. You know, they take no prisoners. When you go to camp as a member of the New England Patriots, and you're trying to make that team, whether you're a rookie or whether you've been traded for or signed as a free agent, you've got to know that playbook backwards and forwards. And when you come home after, you know, a long day of practice in 90-degree heat in the preseason, you go back and you study that playbook so that you know exactly what you're doing and how to execute on the field. Other teams, they go bowling, they go to the movies, maybe they play a round of golf. You know, they may be doing some team-building exercises to get closer as a team, but they're not knee-deep in football when they walk off the field. The Patriots demand that. They buy into that. Now, the second component is that they continue to win. If that was the culture and guys were being, you know, worked to the bone, like, you know, you saw the video the other day where they were out running in 0 degrees on ice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they've got a Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was almost laughable. But if they don't win, then it becomes abusive. It becomes over the top. And then dissension kicks in. You got players saying, this is ridiculous. We're exhausted. We get no rest. That's why we can't win. These people are crazy. But the bottom line is, Brady buys in. He insists that everybody buy in. and they continue to win. And that's why the culture continues to work there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like with Belichick when they won last year. What was that, the parade? He was chanting, no days off, no days off. And it was kind of funny just because anytime he speaks, it's kind of funny. But, I mean, that's what they live by, no days off. We're getting a foot of snow and, you know, 100-mile-per-hour winds. I don't care. You know, leave a half hour early. You're coming to practice. It's incredible. It's amazing. And, you know, again, I used to hate them, but I can't help but respect them. Now, just to kind of get off this topic before we do, your prediction for the offseason. First off, I think they're winning the Super Bowl again, or at least going there. Where's Belichick? Where's Brady next year? Well, Brady's probably back, but where's Belichick next year?
Well, look, as much as, you know, as a Jet fan, and you can relate to this, as much as I'd like to see that that family get broken up, you know, I'd love to see Josh McDaniels get hired and go elsewhere. I'd love to see Matt Patricia get hired and go elsewhere. And I'd love to see Belichick say, you know what, enough of this wacko Tom Brady. You know, it's him or me, and obviously Kraft's picked him, so I'm out of here. Obviously, I'd love to see that. And you know that I do not hate the Giants like you do.
I would love to see
Belichick go to the Giants and turn that team around. There's still enough talent on that team, but obviously, you know, a new culture needs to be established because that, you know, defensive backfield just kind of ran amok this year with their mouths and their behavior, and you know, so they need to be led in a different direction, and I'd love to see that happen. But my gut tells me, because I am a Jet fan and nothing ever goes our way, that, you know, they'll be singing Kumbaya when the Lombardi Trophy's handed to them, and it'll be the same old next year with them going for another championship.
Yeah, I think Brady and Belichick, they're both back on the Patriots, business as usual. It's funny though, this article last night, and Gary Myers, I mean, he's probably got good sources. He kept saying a source said this, a source said that Belichick is really, he wants this Giants job. He's always wanted it. Matter of fact, you know, and we spoke about this on our last episode of this podcast. How I guess in 2009 there's an NFL films of Belichick going back to Giant Stadium and getting emotional and saying how much he loved it here and blah blah blah. And so, I mean, it would be fun, you know, just to see him in New York, back with the New York media, and just see that whole thing play out. But if I had to, you know, gun to my head, I say he's back next year. Brady's back, and you know, they're winning, you know, 12 to 14 games, so.
Yeah, sad but true.
Sad but true. But let's move on. So we got Wild Card Weekend. As we speak, actually, it's 4:30 on Saturday. So we're going to be kind of previewing the four games. And I'll be posting this Monday, so we'll either look like pros or Joes after the fact.
After my season in the Johnny, I'll probably look like a schmo.
Yeah, rough year. I had that first place, but I'll take second. First game, Chiefs Titans. Chiefs are -8. Who do you got?
Who do I have? Let's see. It's tough beating KC at home. Well, first of all, are you asking me who do I like? With the spread, or who do I like to win the game?
Who do you like to win, and who do you like with the points?
Oh God.
Some key facts. I think Chiefs are completely healthy. The game's on right now. It looks pretty cold. The Titans are missing DeMarco Murray, which was their lead back.
Right.
And Mariota, I mean, I don't know. He's been pretty underwhelming. I mean, he got them to the playoffs, but I think that might have been their running game and defense. So, yeah. So, points and straight up. It's minus 8.
All right. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Ever since my trip to Nashville last year, I've kind of been a closet Titan fan. So, I'm going to go not only for the Titans to cover in this game, but I'm going to pick up to beat, to upset the Chiefs.
What? Wow. Upset.
Yep.
No kidding. Yep. In KC, in Arrowhead, one of the toughest places to play probably in sports. Wow.
Yep.
Cover. So, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I'll say this. I'm going to go. Not only will the Chiefs cover, they're going to run away with this game. They're going to blow them out. I think
wow.
That, yeah, okay. I think the Titans were one of those teams. They were like a good, bad team. Almost like the Bills, which we'll get to them in a little bit. I just don't see it. Like I said, they're missing DeMarco Murray. They've just been so inconsistent. The Chiefs, they started off strong, then they fell off a little bit, and then they ended the season very strong. They're completely healthy. So I think the Chiefs are going to run away with this game.
Okay.
So we'll
maybe I'm, you know, speaking a little bit with my heart. I mean, look, part of me wants to see Alex Smith do well. I mean, he's a guy that gets maligned constantly. But yet, you know, he wins every place he goes. And yet he gets little or no respect, and he probably will not be back with the Chiefs next year, you know, with Pat Mahomes, you know, sitting there, you know, waiting to be a star in this league. And I think that the Chiefs probably want, you know, to get him on the field sooner than later. But, you know, and I think maybe he's got something to prove here in this playoff season. But, you know what? I still like the Titans, and I'm a huge Mariota fan. So let's see if he can step up and they can have a real good game and pull an upset off.
I'm so upset about Pat Mahomes. I wanted him so bad on the Jets. I think he's the real deal, and I do think the Chiefs do look at him as the future, which is incredible. I mean, Alex Smith, for all the hate he gets, he did lead the league in passer rating. He had the least amount of interceptions. I think he led the league in, you know, touchdown interception ratio, whatever. And he still gets hated on because, you know, he can't throw the deep ball. Even though I saw him throw the deep ball quite a bit, definitely more than he usually has this year. I think he's good. I think he's good. He's fast. People don't talk about. He is one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league.
You know what? He's not a bad player. He may be that guy that can only take a team so far. And can't get them over the hump. I don't know. I don't know him from a personality standpoint. I don't know if he's got a commanding presence in the locker room. If he's got a commanding presence on the field. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. This game should be all right. I think tonight's game is going to be fantastic. We got
fantastic. Really?
Falcons at the Rams. Two high-powered offenses.
Yeah, you still got a second-year quarterback going up against a team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Well, first let's get it. So it's Rams minus 5.5.
Right.
In L.A., now, you know, you lived in L.A. for 10 years. Do you think that stadium will be sold out?
Well, it's the first playoff game in Los Angeles in, what, 19 years?
Probably.
Something like that?
Something like that.
Do I think it'll be sold out? Probably not. Only because they play in the Coliseum.
Right, which is huge. That's like,
90,000 people.
90,000 seats. I don't know what the weather in LA is, but it's probably beautiful.
It's still very nice.
Yeah, it's probably.
They're getting rain next week. Thank God.
Okay.
They have like 40 days of like 75, 80 degree weather. It's been remarkable.
Right, and the, you know, with the wildfires and stuff, they can use the rain.
Oh yeah, they're in a drought condition again. So they really do need some rain, and I guess it is coming to Southern California next week. So
poor Los Angeles residents. The thing with, you know, the Falcons, I don't think there's a ton of Atlanta people transplants out in LA, so I don't know if there's going to be a large contingent of Falcon fans. You know, if we were talking one of the Northeast teams, like, you know, the Eagles or the Giants, then I'd say for sure that it's going to be a sellout. But I, you know, with the Falcons, I don't think they're a huge draw. One important factor, the Rams. Well, two important factors: Rams completely healthy. I don't know if you know this, but Julio Jones, inactive.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. That's their top offensive player. You know, Matt Ryan's on a down year, coming off an MVP season. I think they're healthy regardless of that. But, I mean, missing Julio Jones going into L.A., I think the Rams not only cover the 5.5, I think it's another, maybe not a blowout, but I think they win by a touchdown. You know, or 10 points, and cover the spread. What do you think?
Well, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't think that the Falcons could win in L.A., where there's decidedly less of a home field advantage than there is in Kansas City for the Chiefs. So I'm going to go with playoff guile and experience with Matty Ice and the Falcons, and certainly I'll take the 5.5, and I'll take the Falcons to win the game.
Wow. Man, you like the road dogs, huh?
And I'm not a huge Falcon fan, and I the Rams were fun to watch, but I just gotta believe that Jared Goff, as a second year quarterback, is going to have some butterflies and, you know, a couple of bad picks, and that could decide the game. So I'm gonna go with the Falcons.
If Julio Jones was playing in this game, I think I would say straight up the Rams win, but I would take the Falcons with the points. I think maybe it's like a field goal to win. But no Julio Jones, I don't even know what the issue was. I just saw it on Twitter, inactive. So I don't know what kind of ailment he has, but, I mean, geez, it must be pretty bad to miss a playoff game.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, but I think it'll be a fun game. I mean, it is two high-powered offenses, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think that's what we want to see with these games. So let's move on to tomorrow. First game, we have the Buffalo Bills, first playoff appearance in this millennium, which is incredible. Last time they were there was the Music City Miracle, and I think that was technically, I think it was the year 2000, but, you know, it was the 99 season. And good for Western New York and the Bills Mafia. I mean, they got one of the biggest fan bases in sports, I think. So, you know, happy for them. But going into Jacksonville, which is the number one defense in the NFL, you got Doug Marrone, who probably wants some revenge. I'm sure he hates the Bills. After going, 9-7 the one year he was there, and then they fired him, right?
Right.
So I'm sure he wants some revenge. Obviously, Blake Bortles sucks, but I just think with their running game and their defense, and the Bills, I think LeSean McCoy is questionable. So even if he plays, he's going to be banged up. Right now, the line is -9, which is a lot to ask of the Jaguars. I'd say Jaguars win. Bills cover? I really don't know. What do you think?
I agree with that, exactly. I as much as I'd like to see the Bills win the game, I don't think that they will. But on the other hand, it's very, very hard for me to get behind a Blake Bortles quarterbacked team.
Right.
So, maybe this game flips on a turnover, and I'll give Jacksonville the edge for being at home. Although, I don't, even know what the temperature's supposed to be there tomorrow. It was 26 degrees there the other day. I don't know if it's warmed up a little bit down south or if they're still going through this cold snap like we are. If it's 26, you know, the Bills are going to be right at home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they definitely have that advantage. You know, they have that going for them. Yeah, it's tough. I think it's going to be kind of a boring game. I think it's going to be low scoring. I don't know what the over-under is, but if I'm a betting man, I'm taking the under. And it could go either way. It could either be just, you know, not much offense and a close game, or it could be Jacksonville, you know, gets a couple defensive, big defensive plays, maybe some defensive touchdowns even, a special teams touchdown, and just kills them, crushes them.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's defense is the key. And that's why I think Jacksonville will win the game. Whether offensively they can score enough points to cover that spread, I don't think so.
Right. All right, well, that should be interesting. And finally, the last game, which is... Shoot, what's the last game tomorrow? Panthers at Saints...
Uh-huh.
Right now, the line is -7. Saints -7. Who do you got?
Boy, I tell you. You know, they say it's tough to win, beat the same team 3 times in a season.
Right.
And the Saints have won the first 2. And, you know, I got a soft spot for Carolina.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
Oh, boy. I like Cam Newton, but that running game of New Orleans.
Oh, I know.
Absolutely lights out.
You know there was some people in the Jets front office who loved Alvin Kamara. Loved him.
Obviously, that. They made the mistake of not picking him, you know.
Oh, of course. And he's unbelievable. He's incredible.
Yeah.
You can only hope that he can sustain it. You know, running backs, it's tough. But
yeah, I'm gonna go with the Big Easy to win the game. And I think they'll cover.
So you're saying Saints run away with this? They win big.
Probably 10 points. Maybe it's you know, 28-17, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think in the dome, raucous crowd, you know, the Saints, you know, they've been down a couple of years. This is a big year. I like the Saints.
I agree. I like the Saints, too. I've liked the Saints pretty much all year. I think I like them to go to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. I mean, the Vikings may have something to say with that, but if you got to, you know, go Breeze or, you know, Case Keenum, I'm going Breeze every time. But, you know, Minnesota, that's where the Super Bowl is this year, so they have a little more incentive to get there. But, yeah, I like the Saints not only to cover, but to win outright.
Yeah.
So that should be a good one. I'm just not I haven't been high on the Panthers all year. I'm not high on Cam Newton. You know, it's always hit or miss with him. So I'm gonna go Saints on that one. Let's stay on the topic of football.
Okay.
College football playoff Monday night.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the University of Central Florida should be the champion.
Well, that certainly. That school does, Scott Frost.
Yeah.
I even heard they're putting up a banner.
Yeah, they're putting up a banner. They're having like a parade. They're doing like a whole celebration. And I mean, it is pretty amazing that I think 2 years ago they didn't win a game. I think they were like 0-12 or 0-13. So to go undefeated and, you know, they beat Auburn, which, I mean, Auburn's good. They're not great. But Auburn did beat Bama, who's probably going to win, you know, Monday night. And, you know, their best player, UCF's best player, has one hand. Did you know that? Shaquem Griffin? Have you heard of this kid?
No.
He's got one hand.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, how do you... one hand. It's incredible. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if he'll be an NFL player. Probably not, unfortunately. But, he's their best player, and he's got one hand. It's incredible to watch. But back to the game. I mean, Bama and Georgia, two powerhouses. To be honest with you, I would take any running back on Georgia to be the Jets running back next year. They got, I think, Sonny Mitchell, and I forget the name of the other guy, but these guys are unbelievable. And two high-powered defenses, probably the two best defenses in college football. What do you think of the game?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I would have liked to have seen Clemson go back and have a shot at the national championship again. And if that weren't the case, I would have liked to have seen, somebody with the presence of a Baker Mayfield, although I'm not a huge fan of his. I would have liked to have seen him go up against Bama in the championship game. To me, I hope Georgia wins. I haven't watched Georgia play enough this year to know if they've got a legitimate shot. What's the spread in the game?
I haven't looked. I think last time I saw it was 5 or 5.5. Bama.
With Bama being favored.
Laying 5.5. But I gotta say, it might have moved a little bit, but it's either 5 or 5.5.
Look, as much as I can't stand Nick Saban, I guess, it's gonna be tough to beat Bama.
Yeah, I'm going with Bama here. The way they shut down Clemson, I mean, that was an absolute ass beating. I mean, that was incredible. I mean, Clemson, they had one of the best offenses in football. Bama just made them look like, a high school team. That was some performance. But Georgia's been great all year. I think it's going to be a good game. I think Bama, I think they win, but I don't think they cover the 5.5. I think it's like a 3, they're kicking a field goal to win it, that sort of thing.
Yeah, look, I don't have a huge opinion on the game. I think Bama will win, but I'd like to see Georgia beat them. Let's leave it at that.
Man, can you imagine Bama loses 2 years in a row in the national championship game? That'd be something. That'd be something. What do you think happens with Saban? Do you think Saban... I mean, what else does he need to prove? Well, let's say they win. What else does he really need to prove there? With all the coach NFL coaching openings, do you think Saban? I mean, he's a king down there, in Bama. I mean, he really doesn't need to leave there. Why go the NFL? And I mean, he had a pretty bad outing in the NFL on the Dolphins, so maybe he wants to prove that he can win there. I don't know what job would be most intriguing. Maybe it's Indy with Andrew Luck there, but a lot of people are saying maybe Jim Harbaugh goes there because that's where he played and he's kind of like a quarterback guru. What do you think of Saban? You think he stays? You think he goes? You think he retires?
I think he stays.
Yeah, I think he does too. He's got such a good thing going down there. There's no point.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they win, then it's even more of a slam dunk that he stays. Because, that buys you a couple more years of not winning.
Right.
Not having winning seasons, but not winning national championships. If he were to lose, things might get a little bit, testy down there. But, hey, could be worse. It could be in Tennessee.
Right. I mean, they're not going to do... They'll never do any better than Nick Saban. I think he's proven he's one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Definitely one of the best college football coaches of all time. So you're not going to do much better than him. He's another Belichick guy. He was, I think, when Belichick was at the Browns, I think Saban was the D coordinator there.
I'd have to check that.
Yeah. He was definitely on the same staff. I don't know what his exact... He might have been the D coordinator. I'm not completely sure, but... he's another Belichick guy. He just no days off, just, lives and breathes football, and he's never satisfied. I mean, you never see him smile, ever. he's never satisfied. So,
right.
Not many people are built like those two guys. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Knicks last night.
Please. Oh, my word. Can they get a freaking loose ball? Can they get an a defensive rebound? I mean, the second chance opportunities that they were giving the Heat was just incredible. Incredible. I mean, the Heat did everything possible to lose that game in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks just couldn't wrestle. I mean, thank God McDermott hits that shot from Ray Allen corner.
Yep.
You know, to tie the game. But did you ever think they had a chance in overtime?
Not really. Yeah. They were lucky to even get to overtime, to be honest with you. Every time they get a lead, they'd blow it. Yeah, my expectations are pretty much down with this team. You know, KP saying he's so tired.
What's up with that?
You know what? I'll say one silver lining on this season so far. I think Tim Hardaway Jr. is 100% worth that contract. Do you agree?
Hard to tell.
Why hard to tell? Run. Well, I mean, ever since he's been out, I mean, they're like a totally, not totally different team, but I mean, he was clearly their second best player, second best scorer, best penetrator on the team.
They certainly miss him. Without a doubt. But, I mean, you know, Porzingis. I mean, he's been Porzingis.
That's a good one. I like that.
I mean, the bricks he was putting up last night, it's funny. Toward the end of the game, he actually elevated and hit a nice jump shot. But there are a lot of times he will shoot because of his height. He will shoot, not flat-footed, but he doesn't really elevate. And he doesn't... I find that he's not putting much arc on his shots. And he's bricking a lot of them. He's a different player. You know, I know that the defense plays into that. You know, they're keying on him. They're taking him out of the game. I understand all of that, but, you know, he's got to post up more. He's way too far out on the perimeter. I think he still has a world of talent, but I don't get this tired stuff. I mean, the season is only 2 months old. Maybe it's just... You know, Nowitzki was a big guy. There have been a lot of big guys. Jabbar was a big guy. Wilt was a big guy. I never heard any of them talking about being tired a third of the way through the season.
Right. I mean, listen, maybe they were tired, but they weren't saying it. That's the problem I had with the whole thing, is right. Why are you coming out and saying that? This is New York, of all places. You can't come out and say that you're tired. Like, we want tough-minded players.
Right.
You can't do that. It's not a good look for him.
Well, he won the Garden crowd over early on when he talked about New York grit.
I know.
And now he's tired.
And this has kind of been his MO the first 3 years. He starts off strong. He looks like the MVP. He looks incredible. And then January hits and he just starts to linger a little bit. It's really concerning. And maybe, you know, it's scary to think. Maybe Phil knew something. Maybe when Phil was trying to trade him over the summer... He knew, you know, there's rumors that he's anemic, and, you know, maybe that, you know, is just making him not so durable and tired, and maybe Phil knew that and was like, you know, he's great, but he'll never reach his full potential because of this. And
who knows? Something's goofy. He's young. Now, what, did he dye his hair? His hair looks awfully dark.
It does look darker, right?
Does.
I mean, he is 22. I mean, you know.
most guys are lightening their hair.
Yeah, I don't know. His hair does look pretty dark. What he needs to work on, and you brought it up, he gets double teamed. You know, teams clearly, you know, they plan, they strategize for Porzingis. He needs to learn how to pass when he gets double teamed. His passing, I mean, it's got to improve. It's just not good enough off the double team. you know, that's something that some of the great bigs do very well is pass. That's something that, you know, even though he's on the team now, Joakim Noah was excelled at. It's something that...
Bill Walton was probably
the greatest ever at it. That's the perfect example. Arvydas Sabonis. You know, I'd love him to get... Yeah, he should get with a Sabonis type guy. I mean, Sabonis is a Russian, right? I mean, he should get with him in the offseason and learn how to play like that, because he's going to see double teams every night. He's going to have these little guys on him, you know, hitting his elbow and doing different things. And
he can't, trying to whack the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, he can't force shots. And he does that way too often, where he tries to force shots or go one-on-one, and it's just ugly. Another guy on the team who I just can't stand going one-on-one is Courtney Lee. I mean, he is not a one-on-one player, and they ask way too much of him to do that. It's ugly to watch. He tried it a few times last night, and it just did not work out. But
he played well at the beginning of the game, and then I don't think he scored a point in the fourth quarter.
No, it was bad.
And he appeared to be a little out of control. I don't know, maybe he feels like he's got to take over and be that second guy, but that's really not his game.
Not
and
at all.
The other piece is, in today's NBA, they don't shoot enough threes. They only put up 13 threes last night.
So they are actually last in the league in three-point attempts. And first in the league in mid-range. So, you know, some of the principles of the triangle are, you know, high post, mid-range, basketball. Not a lot of threes. You know, Phil was bashing threes. And what's crazy to me is Phil's gone now. Triangle supposedly was gone. Jeff Hornacek was like a three-point shooter. Yet nothing's changed. They're last in the league in three-point attempts. And they have some great three-point shooters. I mean, Porzingis, Dougie McBuckets. I love him. I think he should be starting. I mean, he's only 25. He's actually more athletic than you'd think. I think he should be getting a lot more reps, a lot more shots. But...
Yeah. Look, it's funny because as critical as we all were of Carmelo when he was here with, you know, once the ball got to Melo, everything died. You know, in the last couple of weeks, it's been a little bit like that with Porzingis.
Yep.
You know, the ball gets to him and everybody stops moving and they just stand around and watch.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's not how they were successful early on.
No. No, there's not much ball movement. There's not much movement, period. I mean, the only players I ever see who are, you know, cutting and really moving well are like Ron Baker, who, you know, I think we're seeing exactly what he is. I mean, he plays hard, but he's never going to be anything great.
Cut your hair, man.
I mean, I like Ntilikina, but at the end of the day, he's 19. He's a baby. You know, he's getting better each month. There was a stat going around each month. He's improved the amount of drives he has to the basket per game. So he's getting better at it, but, you know, he still has a long way to go. Jarrett Jackson, journeyman. I think what they need to do, Trey Burke, who is on the Westchester Knicks, and he's killing it right now. I mean, he's playing at a high level down there. I think they need to bring him up because it sounds like Timmy's not going to be back till the end of this month. They really need more scoring from their guards because they're not getting any scoring from their guards. And maybe that's the move, bringing Trey Burke up. I'm down on Hornacek. I don't think he's the guy, and I don't know if he'll last the season, but I think he'll inevitably, you know, be gone at some point.
Yeah, at some point, you know, they definitely had some winnable games on the road. Last night being one of them. They got to win those games. They got to win the ones that, you know, they're better than a lot of these teams that they're losing to, and they just don't have that killer instinct down the stretch. And I some of that's got to come from the coach. He's got to figure out some sort of strategy to where they can, you know, use their strengths to win these games in the final minutes instead of giving the games away.
Yeah, I don't like his rotations in certain parts of the games. I don't like I mean, have they ever run a good play out of a timeout? Like a good out of bounds play? It's you know, I watch teams like the Celtics, who are well coached with Brad Stevens, and I mean, the creativity he has on out of bounds plays, it's amazing. And then you watch Hornacek, and you think he'd be a great basketball mind, but I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah, and then they give up too many easy buckets too. I mean, they're not a bad defensive team, but there are some inexplicable lapses where guys are left all by themselves under the basket, and you just go, what the hell just happened here?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think there could be a trade to be made. They have way too many big men. Joakim Noah is inactive like every other game. Is he healthy? Is he not healthy? I mean, that's a whole nother story with him, but something needs to be done. Again, we're not expecting great things. I would have liked playoffs. I don't see it. I think it's another 32-win team like last year. It's another great draft. So maybe, you know, they could use a wing, like a three guy, like a small forward who can, you know, put up points and play defense. You know, there's a lot of those in this upcoming draft. So, you know, I'm not trying to get my hopes up on the season if it happens to be where they, you know, in this month it's probably going to happen with all the road games. That they just fall apart, so be it. You know, were you expecting much this season?
No.
Yeah.
No, but I would like to look forward to a Knick game. You know, not necessarily plan my nighttime schedule around it, but if I see that, you know, when I see that they're playing, or I know that they're playing, to, you know, make sure I turn it on. But right now, I'm not losing complete interest, but I've got no faith in their ability to, you know, to win games.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, still a lot of season left. We shall see. But, all right. Thanks for coming on. This was fun.
Thanks for having me.
This was fun. Stay warm.
You do the same.
Enjoy the wild card weekend. And we'll talk later.
You got it. Thanks.
All right.
You're welcome. You're welcome.